Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Limits, I just got a message from Tim Benz.
Okay.
Who says, please apologize to City Limits for me. I knew it was him at training camp yesterday, but I thought we had already met last year when your show was up there. Apparently, this is a mistake on my part, and now I feel bad about it. So, the ball's in your court. What happened here?
I'll have to reach out. I don't think I've met him before.
Okay.
He's a really nice guy.
Wonderful.
I've read his stuff before. Does a really good job, so it would be very nice to formally introduce myself to him.
Okay. We'll have to arrange that.
Definitely.
Coming up. Last night was a disaster all the way around for the Pirates. Floodwaters on the warning track, and that was the best part of the night, because then the game started, or the game resumed, I should say, and it just went downhill from there. Three straight plays, the ball is in a guy's glove or on the edge of the glove. People wanted to say these weren't drops. I mean, they all fall under the category of drops, even if not technically so. Which means the ball was coming straight for a guy. He should have caught it and didn't. I'm going to call those drops. Let's bring on Noah Hyles, a.k.a. the Noah Constrictor from the Post-Gazette. Legendary figure in Pittsburgh sports right now. Noah, what the hell happened last night? What were you thinking up there? I was watching on TV when there was a lake on the warning track and precisely two men armed with brooms were charged with clearing it.
Yeah. I did not think they were going to play a Major League Baseball game yesterday. Just looking at the field, I remember when they said to all of us, we're going to resume this delay at 8:15 p.m., and I looked out in the outfield and the entire warning track was water. I thought, well, how can that be? And then the Padres took the field, and I feel like they said probably something similar to what I said. And everyone went out there and looked around, and yeah, I mean, it was a problem. It was a problem. I didn't understand the way it was fixed either. Like you said, they're more often than not just one or two guys with a rake going to town while everyone else kind of stood and watched. Didn't understand that part of it. Didn't understand why this couldn't have been postponed, because this is the first game of a series. Today would have made sense to have a doubleheader.
But why would you postpone a game for water on the warning track?
Because it's not a safe playing surface.
No, it's not a safe play. It's as safe as anything else. Go tell hockey players it's not safe.
If, If you've got a slippery surface on the warning track, you're putting guys at risk. And also, I mean, this is an important baseball game.
They've played in snow before here.
Yeah, but
and rain and everything else.
Baseball, Joe. We're talking a pennant race. These guys got to be playing on a Major League Baseball quality field. And I mean, that's something that rivals what I used to play outfield in back in Burgettstown, man. I mean, you can't be playing.
You're a Burgettstown guy, then you should be calling for these players to play. Limits, what do you make of this? What do you make of the NOAA constrictor saying the game should have been postponed?
I wouldn't have postponed the game, but I would have continued to just diligently work to get the water off of there. Because, I mean, you are talking about a little bit of a dangerous situation in the outfield. You are talking about a problem.
They should have played while it was a lake. But I mean,
the Allegheny River was basically on the warning track.
The game was done by 11 o'clock, like the old games always used to be, right?
No, it wasn't.
11:30?
The game ended right around midnight.
All right. The game was done at midnight, just like the old games used to. What?
The delay was longer than the actual baseball game. The delay was 2 hours and 40 minutes. Yeah, the delay was 2 hours and 40 minutes. The actual baseball game was 2 hours and 37 minutes. We can talk about that, too, because that was arguably worse than the delay.
The game itself?
Yes.
All right. What was the headline to you from that game last night? What was the main story? The actual game?
They're going into a game facing a pitcher that is coming off another, you know, maybe throwing the baseball better than anyone else in the sport right now. And they get a blessing. They chase him after one inning, and they sign a team up to have eight innings of bullpen baseball against a lineup that, you know, is for as bad as the bullpen's been, this lineup's been hitting the ball pretty well. They've scored four more runs in a long stretch of their recent games, and then just get shut down. That's a game where your offense has to show up, and it didn't, where you have an advantage where the starting pitcher's chased, you get to dig deep into their bullpen, and you let their first reliever out of the pen go 3 1/3. You can't allow that to happen. Then you allow them to pitch their high leverage arms. They really only had one chance to score. I think that's the big story. And the other part of it is what you mentioned, Joe, where three plays in a row, I think at least two of those should have been caught. And Jake Woodford once again gets, you know, kind of screwed over by bad defense.
Which one didn't you think should have been caught?
I thought Triolo's play was kind of hard. But if I were to go back and watch that one, I could probably be convinced otherwise. I thought Rowdy's play was just a mistiming on his part. Shelton even kind of said this after the game. He assumed that ball was hit harder than it actually was. And that kind of led to him having a mistimed jump. And the ball hit his glove. He just couldn't come down with it. Bay, I think if he got a better read on that ball, he probably doesn't have to dive. And that's a routine. If Michael A. Taylor probably makes that catch on his 2 feet. And so those are two plays that, I mean, they made a difference. In the end, all San Diego had to do was score one run because the Pirates got shut out.
The Triolo play, tell me about that, because it looked like a soft little pop liner hit right, almost right to him. He had to take a couple steps. It looked like he just, I don't know what happened. Did he think the shortstop was coming over? How could that ball drop?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think that there was just, it was a poor read maybe. I don't know. I just, from my vantage point in the press box, that looked to be the hardest ball to catch out of all of them. But I think all three of them probably should have been outs.
Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Noah's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Is that the top of Noah's head on the video monitor? What is that?
Well, the video monitor, at least back here, there has been a technical issue the last couple of days, and it is being corrected today.
Oh, no, that's a pit helmet. Okay, so he's not on video.
He is on. Do you see him on the screen there?
No, I see a pit helmet and an empty microphone, which makes me sad about Ron again. That's all I see. What do you see?
I see nothing. My screen is completely black. They're supposed to be fixing it, and it's supposed to be fixed at any moment now.
Do you think that you're on video right now, Noah?
No, I don't think I am because, I mean, I'm conducting this interview as if I were on video just in case. But no, yeah. I do not believe I am on video right now.
Don't start picking your nose or anything. You could
I was eating cereal before the break, but I stopped doing that once this started.
What kind of cereal?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
You like those limits?
Yeah, I do. I think they're pretty good. Not as good as Fruit Loops.
Ask IT what his favorite cereal
IT,
is.
IT, favorite cereal?
Favorite cereal?
Probably Cookie Crisp.
That's a good choice right there, Joe.
I didn't see that coming. Cookie Crisp. Honey Nut Cheerios are unbelievable even dry, aren't they, Noah?
Oh, yeah. They're a great late night snack. I mean, when you're a little kid, they're always like in the mom's to-go bag. You know, you can pick at them sitting in the pews at church or after a little league game or something. They're good stuff.
Have you had the apple and cinnamon Cheerios?
I don't know if I have.
Yeah, they're like
I'm very simple with my cereal. I keep it very boring, I guess you could say.
Does IT have his Cookie Crisps with milk?
With milk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two helpings usually at a time?
What's that?
Two helpings at a time usually?
I usually get a refill in.
Yeah. That makes sense, doesn't it, Limits?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you have to go back for more.
My all-time favorites are Captain Crunch, followed by Apple Jacks and Fruit Loops.
Apple Jacks are very good. Don't sleep on Golden Grahams. Golden Grahams are very good.
I have a song about Golden Grahams.
Would you like to sing it?
Not really. Good. I sang it in the beginnings of the station.
Oh.
Oh, those Golden Grahams. Oh, those Golden Grahams. Crispy, crunchy cereal. Frosted, shredded wheat. Oh, those Golden Grahams. Oh, those Golden Grahams. Crispy, crunchy cereal. Mighty fun to eat.
That was much better than I expected it to be.
It was pretty good,
wasn't
it?
It's a big compliment to
Noah,
you.
Noah,
yes.
Thoughts?
It was great.
Thank you, sir.
I've got nothing. No notes. It was great, Joe.
What is wrong with Brian De La Cruz?
I think he's trying to do a little bit too much right now. This is a guy who's still relatively young. He wants to come in and make an impact on this team, and I think he's a little too aggressive at the plate. He's swinging a lot. He struck out in 8 of his 22 at-bats. And, I think it just needs a little bit more time, too. It's been 1 week, but he hasn't looked good this week.
Man, I don't know. It's something beyond that. It's almost disturbing. Like, he's got one tool, and that's power. And he better start providing it soon. And then there's Key Brian Hayes, and this disaster just continues with a horrible strikeout, a bounce out to second base, and some other horrible at-bat last night. This is just unfathomable what's happened with him. He was great for his final 3 months last year. I know he's had some troubles in the past. I would take the bad Key Brian Hayes from before that instead of this guy. I mean, this is an epic disaster.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the main guys they were banking on being a top 2-3 player on the team. This year, when they were drawing up the map on how to get to the playoffs,
yeah,
Ke'Bryan Hayes having a big season, not just in the field but at the plate, was a big part of that equation. And he's been arguably, as far as you know, everyday players go, it's hard to find someone who's had a more disappointing year.
Maybe in the whole league, but go ahead.
There are guys who have been work because, I mean, the glove still at least provides you some sort of plus value. But as far as at the plate, yeah, I mean, he's not drawing a lot of walks. He's not hitting for extra bases hardly at all. And he's hitting into a lot of double plays. I mean, he's been a guy where there have been many times this season he had an opportunity to break a game open, to be a difference maker, to be the player that everyone kind of needs him to be on this team. And he hasn't came through. And that's frustrating to him. That's frustrating to the team. And makes you wonder what they do with him this offseason. If this is a guy who is still a long-term part of this future, or maybe if he's a trade piece going into the offseason.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're getting close to 2,000 at-bats in his career now. And he's been a really positive WAR player, which is, for people out there, the all-around measurement. He's been 2-4, 4-3, 4. Now he's at a 1. So the hideous year at the plate has really done nothing to to help him in the field. Like the like his fielding hasn't overcome his hitting or even come close. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. We talked to Mike McHenry yesterday about it. He thinks he's stuck between approaches. It's just, it's amazing to me that the Pirates are where they are with some of the years, especially his, that guys are having. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me. So let me ask you this question. They've got some interesting positions, situations to decide by next season. Who will the catchers be? Who will the first baseman be? Let me frame the question like this. Where will we see Endy Rodriguez, Henry Davis, Kiner Falefa, people like that? Where are they going to play? And Cruz, and the, maybe the most interesting one of all is O'Neill Cruz.
That's a great question. I mean, I think that you head into the offseason and you can make some of these decisions about the guys that you just named based off of what you're able to acquire. If you're able to get a good center fielder, then that limits where you can play IKF in the field. If you're able to flip Hayes for a first baseman, now you don't have to plan on playing Endy at first base. Then maybe you play IKF at third. You can move guys around. The catching position to me is Joey Bartz until someone else plays better than him at the big league level. Endy Rodriguez and Henry Davis were very promising prospects, and Endy really didn't do anything to show why we shouldn't stop believing in him. But he's young. He's still got to do something more than play decent in a 60-game stretch or whatever. So I think that they probably do have three catchers on their opening day roster next year, simply because Hank and Bart are your one and two catchers, and Endy's a third catcher slash a guy that could see time at other places in the infield. Shelton loves defensive versatility as is, and having a guy like Endy, having a guy like IKF, where you can put them in the lineup at numerous spots, that's something that the Pirates are probably going to embrace. As far as Cruz goes, that's another interesting thing. Like you said, what do they do with him this offseason? Maybe they try moving him back to the outfield. Maybe they double down with him as their shortstop and see some of the, you know, raw potential he has and think he just needs another year to figure it out. I don't know. They've got depth as far as the lineup is concerned, but where these guys go in the field, it's very interesting because you need to fill the hole at center field. You need to find a long-term solution at first base. Is that Rowdy Tellez on an extended deal? Is center field more belief in Jack Sawinski? Or is it someone outside
the
organization?
God.
Do you fit someone else?
It better not be at this point. Thank you, Noah Constrictor.
Absolutely, Joe.
See you, buddy. What a man he is. On limits?
He's a terrific one.
Yep. Who else we got today?
Brian Batko at 1:35 to close out the show.
All right, up
also,
next.
Also, Dan Zangrilli at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's going to be big. Let's talk Justin Fields next. What kind of opportunity is being presented to him, and what's he making of it? We're going to hear from Adam Schefter. We're going to hear from Mike Tomlin. We're going to hear from Fields himself. I've been meaning to get to this. This is in any other time, this would be a gigantic story. And I love, like I hear some people around town, the smugness with which they shoot down any idea locally that Fields could start or anything, you know, regarding Steelers quarterbacks. Haven't we all lost our smug license around here?
Yes.
When it comes to quarterbacks?
They shouldn't.
Anybody have them clearing out their quarterback room and bringing in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? Because I heard the same kind of crap when Peter King would come on this show last year and multiple times say, I think the Steelers could be in on Russell Wilson. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, ho, ho, ho. The National guys have no idea what's going on here. Russell Wilson, come on. That's ridiculous. I think he's here. Am I right?
And I saw him.
Not only is he here, but Justin Fields is here. Can you imagine the outcry when people would have mentioned that? I believe the national outlets. I do. I believe they're on to something with the Ayuk thing. They were from the beginning. Pony's been great on that. And I believe that the door is at least a little bit cracked for Justin Fields. I think Russell Wilson is still going to start the opener and all that. But as I mentioned earlier, the real story here isn't will Justin Fields snatch the starting job before Atlanta. It's has he parlayed this job interview into getting into a game faster, replacing Russell Wilson faster should Wilson struggle? And I think the answer to that is unquestionably yes, depending on what happens in these preseason games and all that. Let's talk about it. 412-928-9370. Will Brown.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And then Ayuk be a Steeler by the end of the day. What do you think, Limits? Yes or no on that one?
By the end of the day, no. By the end of the week, yes.
I'm going to agree with you.
It's trending in that direction more and more. I'm the most confident that they're going to trade for Ayuk than I've ever been.
Here's what people don't want to talk about. And I was reading some things during the break there. This idea that the Niners are still somehow in control of this. Well, we can just take him back. Really? So you want a guy in this situation who's this unhappy, who clearly seems of a mind, if not to cause major problems, perhaps some minor ones, and perhaps some major ones. What if he sits out games? Right?
Yeah, he is a disgruntled employee right now that wants nothing to do with San Francisco.
He's a hostage, not
he
a volunteer.
Not a volunteer.
So don't tell me that, you know, I keep hearing, yeah, the Niners, you know, as they should be asking for a lot. Okay, they can ask for a lot. They can also take him back and then see what happens. See if he's willing to play through an injury that if he had a contract, he automatically would. See if he's willing to play through that kind of injury. And I'm not necessarily questioning him there. I'm not sure I would disagree with him. If I was on the verge of a lottery check, and, you know, I was risking myself with a bum ankle by making it worse going out there, I'm not sure I would either, or advise somebody to do that. They're going to have an extremely disgruntled employee on their hands if they keep Ayuk and don't sign him. And they're not going to sign him. So let's lift the facade that the Niners are somehow in the driver's seat here. Like, give us what we want, or we'll keep him. Maybe we'll call you on that one. We'll call your bluff on that one. Or you'll keep him. Okay. You sure you want to keep him? Because from the looks of him, and the looks of it, I should say, Kyle Shanahan wants him out. Michael Silver, I thought, with a very insightful column on this situation today out of San Francisco, saying that it's now Ayuk who's in the driver's seat and that he's driving the coach, Kyle Shanahan, crazy by having a hold in as opposed to a hold out. It's out of sight, out of mind when you're not there. Coach doesn't have to worry about it. Trent Williams is doing that. It's part of the business of football. He's not here. We'll deal with the guys who are here. If there's not an understanding that something's definitely getting done, like with TJ Watt and his hold-in, for example, his hold-in was not a distraction. Tomlin didn't have any problem, I don't think, with that. There was never any indication. It almost made sense as one of the first hold-ins, right? Like, he's here, he's working out, he's getting his mental reps, things like that. He's just not risking his body and eventually get something done. This is way different from that. And Silver's point was that Ayuk's mere presence and maybe parts of the ways he's conducting himself is driving Shanahan nuts to the point of get him out of here. The fact that the Niners know that in many ways Ayuk is driving this train and shows up every day and just by his presence reminds them of that. That's a very different kind of hold-in. So people really need to stop advancing the idea that the Niners are sitting up in some high and mighty place telling everybody, you take what we're, or you give us what we're asking for, or we'll just take him back. That's our fallback option. Give us what we want, or we'll just take him back. We'll see about that. We'll see how this plays out. And that might play into what you're saying. Limitless wonder about it could take still a little while.
Yeah,
but, man, it sure sounds promising.
It does. And the fact that New England has now dropped out of the race as of yesterday in the new report, it seems like it's coming down to just the Steelers and the Browns. Maybe a mystery team is thrown in there. But the fact that there's already a deal in place between the Browns and the 49ers in terms of the substance of the deal, Ayuk holds all the cards because that can be the case. But he can just say, either one, I don't want to go to Cleveland, or two, you're not paying me what I want. I'm not signing an extension, so Cleveland's not going to give up whatever they want because you're trading for Ayuk with the, not assumption, but the sureness that he is signing an extension and he's going to be there for the next 5+ years. And that's why the Steelers hold the most cards. And the Steelers have the best leverage because in all indications, Ayuk wants to be in Pittsburgh. He wants to play for Tomlin, and it's his ideal destination that he'll sign a contract for. So the Steelers are in the driver's seat compared to anyone else right now.
Here's what Silver writes about Ayuk's hold-in in San Francisco, and I quote, "The continued presence of Ayuk in all his emotionally charged splendor seems to be triggering. And Deebo Samuel, who is having a monster camp, has done his part too. Two off seasons ago, Samuel took a hardline stance during his own dispute when he requested a trade. But right now, he's come in this year and just been, this is me talking now, just been like at the, you know, head of the line on every drill, etc." So back to Silver. "If Shanahan and others in the organization have questioned Samuel's maturity and commitment at times, the receiver's response to the Ayuk contract drama and the drafting of Pearsall has been eye-opening." So he's going all out, right? Samuel has taken this and said, "I'm the man, you know, pay me more when that time comes." And I find that very, very, very interesting. And the price is only going up for Ayuk in the meantime. All right, let's talk, and we'll keep you updated with anything that happens. Let's talk a little Justin Fields here, shall we? Let's hear from some national people on the Justin Fields situation. Because again, locally, it feels like, it often feels like Steeler-wise. You know, how dare anybody nationally think they know what's going on with the Steelers quarterbacks. We know, and nothing's happening, and the Steelers would never do this and that and this and that and this and that. Well, nobody had them trading Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia and bringing in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So I think we've all lost our little we know better locally card, and we know what's going to happen, and nothing would surprise, or, you know, we know what's happening with Steeler quarterback card, because we don't. Let's listen to Adam Schefter first on the Fields-Wilson alleged competition.
On Friday, I planted a seed into my brain that Justin Fields should and will be the starter of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that, tell you what, that seed didn't stop growing over the weekend, more that I read and watched. Russ still isn't doing a ton of 11-on-11 team activities. Is there a chance that, you know, Justin Fields does take the pole position in Pittsburgh?
Again, we got to see what Russell's like when he gets back. But Russell had that pole position, you know, per Mike Tomlin. And let's see what happens when Russell gets back. But look, here's the thing. Justin Fields has gotten better and better every practice. And they love the guy. He's a natural leader. And he's got support. But I still think that Russell, when he gets back, had the idea to be the pole position. But when someone's not practicing, it gives somebody else the opportunity. And Justin Fields, by all accounts so far, has come in and taken advantage of that and impressed them with the way that he's played. And that's not surprising. The people in Chicago love the guy. And now he's getting a chance to impress people in Pittsburgh. And we'll see what Russell has to say about that when he gets back from this calf injury.
Artie Smith.
All right. Although the people in Chicago loved him so much, they got rid of him, got a new quarterback. What's he mean by that? Maybe the people of Chicago. Let's listen to Ian Rapoport, if you have that.
You know, so much focus on the quarterback position, and we talked about it. Justin Fields taking all the team, first-team reps with Russell Wilson. I would say pretty slowly working his way back from a calf injury, and that's kind of like a medical focus here. Make sure you don't have any calf issues, just because that can lead to other issues. Definitely something that the Steelers medical and training staff really focus on. So Russ has been doing individual stuff. Fields has been leading team stuff. And, Tom, it's pretty clear watching him and talking to some of the Steelers personnel here, it has been an impressive couple weeks for Justin Fields, and it is obvious Russell Wilson came into this camp in pole position. It feels to me, just to me, that it's a little more open than maybe it was a couple weeks ago.
Okay, that's Rapoport. Then we had Dan Graziano, who I really like from ESPN. We're going to hear from Orlovsky in a moment, but Dan Graziano from ESPN was in Latrobe and came away writing things like, this is way more of a coin flip between these two guys than people want to acknowledge. So that's three pretty prominent people nationally saying the door is more open for Fields than anybody wants to admit. I'm listening. I'm interested. I'm not discounting it at all. I tend to believe, as I've mentioned a couple times already, that the real significance of this is that should Russell struggle earlier in the season, I think the timeline for Justin Fields may be moving up by the minute here. Tomlin may be quicker to go to Fields than he would have been if Fields hadn't gotten all these reps. When you get in the door for a job interview, nothing else matters. You're on stage. You can render everything and everyone else meaningless. Second place. There's so many stories like this, probably from our own lives, from Tomlin's life. Nobody thought he was going to be the Steelers coach, but he went in the interview room and just blew everyone away. He and they were in love with, most importantly him, with Justin Fields in the draft. That's a fact. It's not that easy to fall out of love. Now, they did with Pickett, but it takes a lot. And from the sounds of it, they're even more in love. He's even more in love with Fields now than he was at the draft. I heard Tomlin the other day with Kay Adams say that, or maybe it was NFL Network, say that Fields' athleticism has really surprised me, he said. What? I mean, he must have studied, you know, days and days worth of tape and known everything there is to know about Justin Fields and observed him in Chicago, and yet he sees him up close and he's just gushing about him. His athleticism really surprises me when I see it up close, Tomlin said. Arthur Smith has been gushing about the guy. You mean to tell me when you build an offensive line like this with two running backs like this and a coordinator who's noted for wanting to build a run game, can you imagine the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry in his prime offense with a running quarterback? This would appear to be the team and the coordinator and the head coach that were built for Justin Fields if Justin Fields is ever going to succeed. And Dan Orlovsky talked about this on ESPN, and I want you to hear this at the top of the hour. He was asked, if they went full in with Justin Fields, would that be like any other situation you can think of from the NFL? And man, he had an immediate response. Whether or not Justin Fields wrests the starting spot from Russell Wilson, and I don't think he will still in this camp, a major story has evolved here. A major story. I was just reading Jerry Dulac's chat on postgazette.com. You can check that out. It's great every week. Or somebody asks, you know, what about next year? And of course, that's a long, long time away because every year in the NFL is a lifetime. And the guy asked about signing Russell Wilson, and Jerry said, yeah, that's the plan. You know, if he has a good year, sign him. Well, then what happens to Justin Fields? I think Russell Wilson would have to be great to come back as the starter. And I'm a believer in Russell Wilson for this year anyway. Something's happening here with Justin Fields. These guys love him. Tomlin always has. He's been given an unexpected daily job interview. And even if he's had some stumbles, by all accounts, he's passing here in a big way, not just passing, but flourishing in this job interview. And the idea of maybe the best running quarterback in the league, and there's some good ones, Lamar near the top, Anthony Richardson's unbelievable, other guys, but maybe the best guy, an absolute stud of a runner in his prime at 25 when Artie Smith and Tomlin get in the dark room watching film, they have to be saying, can you imagine what it would be like if this guy was the ringmaster here? Can you imagine what our run game would be like? The limitless possibilities. They have to be tempted. Fields' timeline has to be moving up. You're going to hear from Orlovsky next, and I'd love to hear from you. Who do you want to win this battle? At 412-928-9370. Because so many people want to just shoot it down. Oh, there is no competition. There is no battle. Okay, let's say Russell Wilson starts the season open. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a battle in training camp, the effects of which will last into the season. That doesn't mean that Justin Fields made an indelible impression upon Tomlin and Smith to the point where they might have been very patient with Russell Wilson and now won't. And yeah, I believe that it actually is a crack open, just a little bit, that Fields could actually win this thing right now. I do. Oh, what are you talking about? The national media, they don't know what's going on with the Steelers quarterbacks. Yeah, because you all knew that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson would come here and they would trade Kenny Pickett, right? I'm sure when Peter King came on this show and said he could see Russell Wilson on the Steelers and he thinks Tomlin wants a guy like that, I'm sure that people were agreeing with that, right? And not shooting that down right away, too. We've all lost our we know more than anybody about the Steeler quarterback situation card around here. You got people coming to this camp and leaving saying, hey, that's more of a coin flip than anybody thinks. I'm listening. Don't know about you. I'm listening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.